got 10 minutes.
Who believes in miracles? I was just thinking when Alex was sharing about... thank you. about conversations at work on the building site and so on. I come from a little coal mining village originally in the heart of Nottinghamshire. And so my dad worked at the coal mine. I started when I was 15. But our family all got saved within a space of 12 months. My uncle was the first. He witnessed to me, and I witnessed to the rest of the family. We all got baptized together in water. But my dad had this vivid dream, and really it was kind of like a nightmare, but without going into that, because I don't have time, I'm trying to talk quick like Aaron. But one night he was wakened in the early hours of the morning, and God had spoken to him, and he's walking across to the coal mine, which is only about 300 yards from our house. Gives his life to Jesus. He's a welder, so he's working in the welding shop that morning, and he's banging out some metal. And instead of hitting the metal, he hit his thumb. Now, coal mining language is every other word is a four-letter word. It's just the way it is. And instead of hitting the metal, he hit his thumb, and he shouted out, "Hallelujah!" At which point, all the guys stopped in the shop and said to him, "What did you just..." So he had to tell them he was a Christian. But that's the change that Jesus brings in people's lives, and that's the miracle that we're talking about this morning. You know, when you turn your TV on and you immediately hit the news at some point, it's normally all bad news. And I was just thinking, with the Ukraine war and now Israel at war, and who knows how that could escalate. We pray that it won't, but who knows what will happen in that kind of situation. And my mind went back to a verse in Isaiah chapter 60 where God speaks to Israel and says, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but light you will shine, light will come upon you. And Paul says in the New Testament that in the last days, perilous times will come. And I think we're in those times, in a sense, where anything can happen. So we've got wars and rumors of wars, just like Jesus promised. But what we have to do is to ask ourselves, who do we really believe? Because one of the great lies of Satan is that nobody's interested. I'm going to shock you with some statistic this morning, a little bit later on, in the ninth minute I've got. but things are happening in the world, and we've got to ask ourselves, do we believe what Jesus said when he clearly said to his disciples, the fields are white unto harvest? And he said that in the context of speaking to Samaritans, having revealed who he was to a Samaritan woman. And Jesus said to his disciples, the fields are ready, they're white unto harvest. The devil will tell you people are not interested. Let's believe what the Bible says and what Jesus says. So the Great Commission that Mark and Matthew record right at the end of their gospel accounts is this. Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel, make disciples. That's what we're seeking to do, as already has been mentioned, through the four coffees, so that people get helped. And my friend Viv Penfold was saved some years back now, but he was saved on a Friday night through somebody in the church witnessing to him. They came to church as a family on the Sunday morning, broke bread with us. Sunday night, he got baptized in water, and then in the middle of the week in the Connect group got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the way to do it, isn't it? And so the big commission is to make disciples of all nations. Now, I want to ask you a question. What was it that really motivated the early church? What was it that changed the disciples from being in an upper room and feeling that the world had all collapsed immediately after the crucifixion, when they placed their hope in Christ and now everything had been dashed? What was it that changed the two disciples walking down the Emmaus Road when suddenly, after a conversation that must have gone along the lines of, well, we put all our hope in Jesus of Nazareth, but now he's dead. What have we got to live for? We've given up everything. Now everything has been smashed and broken. And suddenly Jesus comes alongside them and he begins to open up the scriptures. And this is what they said when they realized who he was and they were going back to the other disciples to say that we've seen the Christ, he's risen from the dead. They said, as he opened the scriptures to us, our hearts burned within us. That's the best kind of heartburn you can ever have. The thing that really changed the disciples was the resurrection. It was the fact that the Son of God, who had died upon the cross 3 days later, rose again from the dead. And this is what they risked their lives for. This was the motivating factor that took them to the ends of the earth, because they knew and they believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. So the question is, what is it that motivates us to go out into the world, to talk to our friends, to discuss and talk with our family members, to talk to our neighbors, to bring them into our homes, to give them a meal or a coffee or a cake and talk to them about Jesus? What is it that motivates people as we go about our daily work and daily jobs to really share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'll put it to you this morning. I believe that what we really need to do is to live in the experience of personal resurrection. Personal resurrection. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He says, you has Jesus made alive, or the Authorized Bible says, you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You talked and you walked according to the course of this world, but he raised you from the dead. He raised your dead spirit. That's what Paul is actually saying. And I think if we get the revelation that every day we are to live in the revelation of a personal resurrection. Now, listen, when Adam sinned, we know he died spiritually, not physically, but spiritually. And this is what Paul is saying. You were dead. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you don't understand some of the things that have been said. You don't fully understand the gospel, but somebody's invited you. Somebody's talked to you. Somebody's brought you along this morning. And maybe it's not all making sense. That's because before we meet Christ, our minds have been blinded and our spirit part of us is dead. But this is what God wants to do for you this morning. He wants to give you a personal resurrection. That's what we call being born again. That's what we call being saved. That's what becoming a Christian is. Something happens inside your heart that you are born of God's Spirit and there's a personal resurrection. In other words, you come alive. You really come alive. Can I have an amen? Amen. Absolutely. So we have to live in that personal resurrection, that revelation. Remember when Isaac was offered upon the altar, Abraham was about to kill his own son. It was a test from God. And the angel said, do your son no harm. What do you think Isaac felt like when Abraham released him from that altar? Well, thank you very much, Dad. That's nice of you. I think he got up off that altar and he'd be dancing around. If he was Irish, he'd be... Thank you very much. I think he'd be saying, I should be dead, but I'm alive. I should be dead, but I'm alive. And so Isaac lived in the personal revelation of his own resurrection. What do you think Lazarus did when Jesus called him out of the tomb? He said, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And every time you're talking to someone, and people have said this to me many times, well, nobody's ever risen from the dead to tell us if there is life after death. My answer is, I have. And they say, what? Because once I was dead, now I'm alive. And when you wake up every morning in the revelation that you once were dead, you've had a personal resurrection of Jesus Christ. We should be dead, but we've been made alive. Hallelujah. That's what being born again, and that's what can happen to you this morning. If you're here, maybe for the first time, you can be saved, born again. Leave this place this morning with a knowledge of a personal resurrection. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come that you might have life abundant. And secondly, live in the present experience of his presence. You know, Moses said to God one day, as he's in the tabernacle, just about to leave the tabernacle, Moses, when he was leading Israel through the wilderness, would go into the tabernacle and there he would seek God. He would live in the presence of God. And the Lord says to him one day, Moses, we're moving on. And Moses says these words, unless your presence goes with me, I don't want to move. That was a great prayer. And we need to live in the revelation of his presence with us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that when you go about your daily tasks, then you're living in the presence of God. You're waiting. You're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're able to respond to his promptings, to talk to people, to help people, to minister to people. Live in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So live in personal resurrection, Ephesians 2. But in Ephesians 4, Paul says, live in the unity of the Spirit. And then as you go through that chapter, he talks about things that we are to do and things that grieve the Holy Spirit. So he says, don't live with bitterness, anger, or unforgiveness. Don't do those things, because he says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, because these are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. So if we live in Ephesians 4 and we begin to live as Christians, he says, put on the new man, the new faith, the new belief, who you are, put it on, live it out day by day. Then we're walking day by day in the presence of the Holy Spirit, where he can use us. And listen, folks, he's preparing hearts as we're praying. He has to be. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And if prayer increases in the church as it is, people's hearts are being prepared. There are people that are waiting to hear. And in Asia, in the year 2000, a couple set out to train people in discipleship. They went to a little church in the backwoods somewhere with 30 people. 30 people turned up to be trained how to tell their story. And that was in the year 2000, after they trained these people to tell their story, to make disciples, then they went to other churches, and the system was, when you've been born again, you then start to teach others, you train others, you disciple others. Do you understand? Listen, in 2000, they started that. In 2009, 1,738,143 people have been baptized in water throughout all Asia. 158,993 new churches had been planted as a result of that system. Hallelujah. Now that might blow your mind. And you're reading through the book of Acts and you're thinking, well, I could never be like that and never do that. But listen, sometimes it's a smile that opens up a conversation. Sometimes it's a good deed. Sometimes it's giving someone a gift. It's being there to help somebody. My son Mark just told us the story just the other week. He said, Dad, I just finished work. I was hungry. I thought I'd go in and buy a burrito. So we went into this little fast food place, little restaurant. And as he's going through the door, he hears someone behind him. And there's an elderly black gentleman with a stick, and he's walking right behind Mark. And Mark looks back, and he opens the door for him and lets him in. And then through the second door, he opens that door. And then Mark goes to order his burrito, and the voice behind him says, I'll pay for that. It was the gentleman who had opened the door for. Mark says, it's gone through. Thank you very much, but it's already gone through. And then he noticed in the corner of this little restaurant a young man who just got saved that goes to a Connect group that he goes to. This young guy had just come off drugs, got wonderfully saved. He's just sat down eating. And so Mark thinks, I'll go and join him. So he sat at the table with this young guy, helping and encouraging him. And then this elderly man comes with his stick. He says, I like you. He says, are you a Christian? He said, yes. He says, well, I was brought up. My dad was actually a preacher. But he said, they were so strict in those days that it put me off altogether against any kind of religion. And he starts to open up, and Mark says, can we pray for you? And he said, I never let anybody pray for me. But he says, I'm going to let you. And so he and the young man who just got saved were able to pray for him and help him and bless him. Praise the Lord. Just because he opened a door to opportunity. I was talking, and I'm going to finish with this. I was talking to a lady just the other day in Chesterfield. She got saved when we were there. She actually got saved when we had Charles Duke, the man that walked on the moon. He came to the church to share his story of how he trained, how he walked on the moon. And she got saved that night. And we had Charles Duke for supper, and I asked him the ultimate question, is the moon made of cheese? He said, no. So I've cleared that out of the way. But that night she got saved. She'd been a brilliant evangelist. If I could have brought her here this morning, she would have inspired you, all of you. But she's just the kind of woman, at 75, she'll talk to anyone. She goes to the gym. And the other day, the Chesterfield Football Club are all in the gym training. They're on the bikes, on the rowing machines and so on. And this young black guy who plays for the team, he's going away like this. And she walks up to him and she says, you know, you did great. She says, you're better than the trainer. He gets off the bike and he starts talking to her. He says, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. And for 30 minutes, he stood in that gym asking her all the questions that he could about the Bible. Listen, folks, live in the experience of personal resurrection. If you're born again this morning, saved by the power of God, you've been raised from spiritual death. You now have a relationship with God, and then live in that experience of walking in His presence. Don't offend the Holy Spirit, but put on that new man. Walk with your head held high. Listen to the voice of God, because He's calling people and He wants to use me and you and everyone that really knows Jesus to reach out and touch people's hearts. And maybe this morning you're here, but you've never met Him. A resurrection awaits you this morning. Hallelujah. Shall we stand together?